If you'll take out your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 19, John chapter 19, we're going to look there in just a moment in John chapter 19. If you don't have a Bible, take one out of the pew rack in front of you, that red book right there in front of you, and look it up, John chapter 19. And it's our fourth gospel there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Get there to chapter 19. We're going to look at that in just a moment as we continue our series on the seven last words. Not singular words, but the phrases, the seven last phrases of Christ from the cross. We've talked about and discussed how important it is to kind of look at these words, which seem maybe insignificant to others, as this dying man being nailed to a cross utters these words at the very end of his life. But knowing it's Jesus Christ and knowing how important this is, we want to look at what words he did say. And seven times he spoke from the cross. We've already talked about the first three times. Today we're going to look at number four. And as we do, we're going to say, what does this mean to us? Because the things that he uttered from the cross, they are important, not only for those people back then, but we believe they're important for us today. And that's why they're recorded. So we're going to look at that in just a moment in John chapter 19. And so if you have your Bible, you can get that. Have you ever been really thirsty? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe today's not the right day to ask with the snow and everything, but have you ever been really thirsty? Just so thirsty you just needed anything, just that cold glass of water. Usually that's in the summer and you're driving on the highway and you look up and you see that billboard with that glass of Coke, you know what I'm talking about? And it's all got the water dripping off it and the ice cubes in it and you're going, well, I wasn't thirsty, but I am now. You've been really thirsty. Or how about really hungry? How about really hungry? You just feel like you were starving. Maybe you missed a meal and your stomach's growling and you're kind of hungry. Like it gets about 11:30 in here on Sunday morning. But your stomach's growling, you're thinking, wow, I could use something to eat. But you get really hungry. Or like this morning, you've been cold. You've been cold. You're just freezing cold. I woke up and went out on Friday morning and thought, wow, it is really cold. I'm done with winter, but it's still cold. You ever felt that? You're just cold. You just can't get warm. Or maybe like in the summer, you get really hot. All kinds of things we experience as human beings, isn't it? All kinds of sensations that allow us to the privileges and the weaknesses of being human. We feel these things. We feel not only emotions, but we feel pain, we feel hunger, and we get tired. You ever been tired? You ever been so tired after a day at work, you come home and you just plop down on the couch and you say, we're ordering out. Right? You're just so tired. You got that pounding headache. The reason that I talk about that today is because what we see in Jesus, what we believe about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He came to this earth. We know this Christmas story. He came to this earth. John chapter 1 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary in a stable, you know, and there he was, and he grew up, and as he grew up, he worked in a carpenter shop with his dad, and then as he got older, he went into ministry, and we see him do all kinds of things. But do we really believe that he became a human? That's the mystery of the incarnation, which is Christ coming down, God coming down to this earth, is wrapping himself in flesh. It's that he was all God, but he was all human at the same time. And how do you explain that? And the scripture talks about him pouring out his Godhead, putting it aside so that he could experience human life. There was a group of people called the Gnostics during the first century, during the first church. And they're addressed a lot in the scripture because they believed, like some of us still believe today, and that is that spiritual things are good and physical things, matter, they are bad. And so they think that everything spiritual is something that we should grab for and long for, but the things that are of this world are all bad. So they couldn't put it together that God Almighty, the wonderful, beautiful, holy God, could become a human being. So much so that they separated it. They said that Jesus did not come in the flesh. That this heresy was that Jesus came and he was here. They believed that. He was the Son of God. But because he was God and he couldn't have real flesh, he was more like a phantom. In fact, in this circle of people, even during the first century that the disciples had to deal with, they would say that Jesus was here, he's the Son of God, that they would say he would walk and not leave footprints. You know, because he's the Son of God. He just walked a little lighter than regular people. And he didn't experience the things that you and I experience because he couldn't possibly have been flesh. So he was a phantom, something not of this world. And we tend to think of that today. We think of physical things as bad, and we want to get away someday to fly away to the heaven and see the spiritual things. Well, the Bible does not talk about Jesus that way. The Bible talks about this idea that Jesus wasn't a human being as heresy. It says that couldn't possibly be true. In fact, if Jesus came to be our Savior, if he came to know us and understand us, then he really needs to be human. Here we are on the cross. The Gnostics would say Jesus was on the cross, but he didn't experience really pain. I mean, after all, he was God. It's Jesus, so he doesn't have to experience pain. He has a card up his sleeve. It's that Son of God ID card that he shows whenever he wants to get out of something, you know. Or maybe he wants to walk on the water or raise somebody from the dead, and he goes, ha, Son of God card. Don't have to do that, you know. And we say, well, it was Jesus. So here he is on the cross. Is he experiencing pain? Is he experiencing really, come on, Son of God? Is he really bleeding for us? Is he shedding his blood? Does he really feel? I mean, after all, doesn't he know he's going to raise from the dead? I mean, could he really be experiencing that gruesome death? Let's put that question on hold for just a second. I believe it has a lot to do with the words he speaks today from the cross. And today is actually just one word. His phrases get shorter now as the time on the cross gets longer. His body is wearing out. He's exhausted. I mean, what happens? How does somebody die on a cross? I think we've talked about this already, that on a cross you don't necessarily even bleed to death. Not all got flogged and beaten like Jesus. He had a great amount of loss of blood. But they had it was a science on crucifixion that they didn't want their people to bleed to death. They wanted it to last as long as possible. So we've mentioned already that many times people would suffocate on the cross. Some would die of exposure because they would not take a person off the cross until they were dead, and some would hang on for days. And because of exposure and lack of water, they would die. At this particular time on the cross, Jesus' lungs are burning up with fire. He's bled a lot of blood out. It's caused his mouth to go so dry that when he does swallow, his throat sticks together and barely can rip itself open. The pain has become more than he can bear. Every breath is labored. It's a really bad time. Things are getting close to the end. We're going to find we're very close to where he's going to die. And we read these words. It's in John chapter 19. And we're just going to read a couple verses today. John chapter 19, verse 28 and 29. Later, time has passed now. He's been on the cross for a while. Later, knowing that all was now completed, And so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Let's pray. Lord, once again, these are very short verses, but they happened in a very significant time. We believe every word is important, and especially every word from your lips, even your dry and parched lips from the cross. Today we know that this word you spoke, which was really one word, God, when you said it so that the people there could hear it, and it's been written down so that we could hear it. So what does it tell us about you? What does it tell us about us? Can we go from this place knowing we've encountered you, our God? In Jesus' name, amen. I think it's important to look at several aspects of these two small verses. Two small verses. Jesus only speaks one word. It's just one word. It's translated, I am thirsty. It's just, I thirst. It's thirst. I thirst. And as he shouts that in the Aramaic from the cross, it gives us a little pre-story there, a little prelude to it. And I want us to look at that today because it's important on what he says. I think it's important for us to see Jesus in both sides today, not only as God on the cross, but as a human being on the cross. So it says that later, knowing that all was now completed, what has been completed? What has been accomplished? What could Jesus possibly be doing? I mean, is he really up there and he's got a list of things accomplished? Because later, seeing that all things were finished, all things were accomplished, he's obviously thinking about things. Well, we review our last few words from the cross, and we see that he was making sure things were taken care of, wasn't he? I mean, basically, the last three phrases show him taking care of those around him. The first one we looked at when he hung on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, he's making sure the enemies are forgiven. Those, whether you're an enemy of the cross, a friend of the cross, or just indifferent to the cross, you need to know that Jesus was making sure you were taken care of. And he says, I want you to know.